that word a little bit too hard on that passage of Scripture. And you can do that. You can overwork a Scripture. But when you're on a real shaky foundation, that's what you have to do. You have to go to Greeks and Hebrews and fishing trips and football games, whatever what you can hope to find. And there are some passages of Scripture that do indeed deserve the going into the Greek and such things. There are some passages somewhat difficult to understand. But this ain't one of them, for sure. And Pat worked way too hard on that. The Scripture reads this in 1 Corinthians 13:8-13. It simply says, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part, but when? But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then," that is, when we see face to face, "I shall know as I am also known. Now abide faith, hope, charity, and these three with grace is charity." Now, Pat is a very educated man, graduated from the University of Alabama. And he knows that he has no passage of Scripture nowhere in the Bible that states that any gifts or supernatural gifts or gifts of the Spirit has ceased. As I come, he didn't present you one. He read you one passage of Scripture and then went off on this other stuff. The passage here says, "But when that which is perfect comes." Now, when don't mean has. And when don't mean have. If it said that which is perfect has come, then he could say, it's over. If it said, when that which is perfect, those things which are perfect have come, it means it's over. But see, when is open-ended. So at the very best, if I could not prove when that when is, if I couldn't prove when it is, at very best, he couldn't be here. It's mere speculation. Pat thinks he knows when the when was. But the Bible don't tell us when the when was. It don't even hint at when the when would be. It didn't say that in a particular day this will happen or at this time that's going to happen. It didn't say that the gifts of the Spirit are going to go away at this time. Now there's an unfailing law in the Bible, and it is this, and it bears witness to common sense. If God tells you to do something in clear, unmistakable terms, we're not talking about something that needs to be worked on, thought about, and figured out. We're talking about unmistakable terms. Thou shalt not. Does anybody understand? If God tells you to do something, and He tells it to you clearly, then it must be God who clearly tells you to quit doing it. You understand? See, if God clearly says you do something, and then it ain't clear that He says don't do it, you better keep on doing it just for caution. So very simple. If God says do it, whenever God started the sacrifices, He said do it. But the day would come, the Lord Jesus Christ would come and do what? Put an end to the sacrifices. The Lord said do it. And then the Lord clearly said, don't do it. Now all Pat has here is the word when. Then he goes off on everything else. When that which is perfect comes. Now he says that which is perfect coming is the Bible. But will quote out of 3 or 4 different Bibles. He quotes out of the NIV. The group that he belongs to, the organization Pat belongs to, is in affiliation with the World Translation Committee or something of that nature, who created them their own Bible. They were part of it, and all those passages of scriptures that deals with their doctrine on baptism, they helped this perfect book out by changing it and making it more clear that they were right. Their Bible don't read. The Bible that their organization is behind does not read like the King James Bible. But yet the King James Bible, 99%, actually more than 99% of all documents unearthed today, Greek documents concerning the New Testament, is in agreement with the King James Bible. But yet, this is so perfect, the organization he belongs to wrote him another one. I don't think it's a sample of the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, Pat didn't deny what I just said in Meridian, and I don't know if he will deny it here, but I'll ask you to go home and check it out on the internet, and you'll see that it's exactly the truth. When that which is perfect comes obviously refers to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Anybody would know that that's what's perfect. The Bible is the perfect book given to us for salvation. It is perfect. It will lead you to heaven. It is perfect in the way of salvation. But the Bible itself does not pretend that it has given us perfect knowledge or all knowledge. It's given us perfect knowledge to be saved. But it's not given us all knowledge. And the passage of Scripture that he reads says that, yeah, tongues will cease. And it says that prophecies will cease, and it says that knowledge will cease in the same passage of Scripture. Now, I can tell Pat here tonight, I can say, Pat, you know, you're wrong because I speak in tongues. But Pat can say, well, that's just, you know, your own little deal there. And Pat can say that it's not true. And we have no way of proving. Ultimately, we have no way of proving that my gift of tongues come from God and His operation. We don't have no way to prove it. But knowledge is in that passage also. And so we do have a way to prove that by a few simple questions. The Bible says, Pat, that no man knows the day or the hour. Do you? The Bible says, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, chapter 10, and verse 3, it tells us of the 7 thunder judgments. It begins with the 7 seal judgments. And each judgment that passes seal number 1, the Lord tells you what happened. Seal number 2, the Lord tells you what happened. 3, and so forth and so on. Then it goes to 7 trumpet judgments. And it tells you what each one of those 7 trumpet judgments are. And then it comes to 7 thunder judgments. And John went to write them down. And when he went to write them down, the Lord said to John, don't write it. Pat, do you know what those 7 thunder judgments are? No, we don't. Jesus was asked by James and John's mama, said, when you get in your kingdom, will you let my 2 boys sit on your right hand and your left hand? Jesus said, that ain't mine to give, but only the Father. Pat, do you know which side them boys are sitting on? Let the record show that he did not answer, therefore must conclude that he does not know. Now, I can't prove the business about tongues. I say I got it, he says I ain't. But I can prove that he ain't got perfect knowledge. And I can prove that I ain't got perfect knowledge. Therefore, what's perfect ain't come. Because, see, there's things that I don't know. Even about the Bible and it's in the Bible. There's mysteries in the Bible. Mysteries in the Bible that I don't know. Pat, do you pray? You do pray. You pray to God. Does God hear you? Does God answer? Pat says that yes, God hears him and God answers him. And Pat prays. But Pat says there are no miracles. But yet Pat prays to a non-human entity that is outside of our space-time dimension. And this non-human entity, whereby the laws of physics and physical means, he cannot contact. He can't call him on the phone. He can't holler, "Hello!" He's outside our space. He's outside our time. He's outside the dimensions of which we know. He's outside the laws of physics. You can't reach him. You can't get to him. You can't contact him by physical means. But yet Pat prays to a non-human entity. A non-human entity. He prays. He talks to a non-human entity. By definition, alien. I mean, if you strictly go by definition, an alien. He's talking to aliens. Or he's talking to non-human entities in prayer. And as he talks to non-human entities, not only is he talking to non-human entities, but those non-human entities are talking back to him.
10 minutes.
Action. And Pat says that when he prays, God answers his prayer. That means that non-human entity has to intervene into his affairs from outside our space-time dimension. Now, that ain't natural. And therefore, it must be supernatural, this thing called prayer. Because you can't dial him up on the phone. You can't get him through the bell side. Can't get there by physical means. Can't fly in an airplane. Can't catch him in a rocket. There's something about a dimension between this one and that one. But I don't know how it works, but I know that he hears me. And I know he does answer because I've prayed for things and the Lord has made those things to happen just like he did for that. Which then is intervention. God intervenes because of prayer into our dimension of prayer alone. Now, that's a miracle. That's a miracle in the sense that it is not within our physical laws. Now, Pat defines miracles as a different way than most people define them. Pat says, and this is a direct quote, and I have the tape of him back there to prove it, so I need to play it. Pat says, these are not miracles. They're not miracles because God can routinely do these things. That's what he says on tape. He denounces miracles because God is able to do it. And he can do it routinely, he says, every day. But by that definition of miracle, then the parting of the Red Sea is not a miracle. Because God can do that 7 times a day if he wanted to. The sending manna down from heaven is not a miracle because God can do it 21 times a day if he wanted to. It's routine with God. The resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of Christ, is not a miracle according to Pat's definition. God can routinely do it. So I wouldn't see that as a miracle. That's what he says. So it's easy to deny all miracles if that is your definition of a miracle, that God is able to do it. But I know this evening that I'm talking to relatively sound-minded people here. And in many cases, educated people. The Bible says, when that which is perfect is come. When? Now, I'll ask Pat tonight to give me one scripture that shows where it ended. God said, do it. Now, see, my daddy told me to cut the grass, and daddy left. Now, Pat come by and told me that daddy changed his mind, but I know what I'm going to get if daddy didn't change his mind. Daddy's the one told me to do it, so Pat, you're going to step aside, and I'm going to have to get daddy to tell me, don't do it. You understand that? I have to see God say don't do it as clearly as he said do it. And if God clearly said do it and God don't clearly say do it, just quit doing it. Then I've got to account every man to be a lie and God be the truth. I have to have a scripture with equal understanding where God said start it and then he said stop it. The Bible tells us in the book of Joel, chapter 2, the Bible said in Joel 2 that the Holy Ghost was coming. In Acts chapter 2, the Bible said the fulfillment of Joel came to pass. When cloven tongues of fire fell on them and they began to speak with other tongues, they said, this is the prophecy come to pass of Joel. Then we have in the book of Corinthians, the church being instructed on how to operate in these gifts, when to do it, when not to, the rules pertaining to it, and the command to forbid them not to speak in other tongues. All through the Acts, all through the rest of the Bible, we have references to how to do it. So what we have in the Bible, in the book of Joel, is a clear, absolute clear passage. Joel 2, saying that the Holy Ghost was coming. Acts chapter 2, we have a clear case of it coming, but not just it coming and us associating it to it, but Acts chapter 2 says this is the fulfillment of the prophet Joel. So we have it promised to come, Joel. Then we have it coming, Acts 2. Then we have instructions all through the book of Corinthians of how to operate in it. Now, if I have a scripture showing me it's coming, a scripture showing me it came, and scriptures giving me instructions on how to operate in it, I'm going to have a scripture that tells me to quit. Now, for the last, here's the simple answer to the when. Now, it says here in the passage I read, but then face to face. That's in the passage Pat read. But then face to face. Now, the Bible ain't got a face. He's talking about but then face to face and being known as I'm known. The Bible don't have a face. He's talking about being face to face with something, and then shall I know as I am known. Then I shall have perfect knowledge when I come face to face with something. Then in the book of John, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2, listen to what it clearly says. When he, Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That the Bible said that the Lord had every hair on our heads numbered. Do you know how many hairs you got on your head? Do you know how many hairs the Lord has on his head? Make it easy. Do you know how many hair I got on my head?
Just the copper.
Just take a guess. Perfect knowledge is not you. That's obvious. That is clear. And the Bible makes it clear. When we see him face to face, we will know then as we are known. But the Bible does not give us perfect knowledge on all things. It doesn't even pretend to. It only gives us perfect knowledge in God's plan of salvation for us.